up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. We are officially in the off season and we are going to continue our weekly early peek at our 2021 ranks. This week we are going to cover tight end, everybody's least favorite position, but we're going to give you some players to buy and we're going to talk about the tight end position. But before we do that, I just wanted to say hello to my co-hosts this week and hopefully every week going forward, Tyler Gunther and Tim Keller. Tyler, it appears that you are on the road this evening as we record.
Yeah, I am out of the studio elsewhere. It's been a while since I've used my travel mic. So it talked to me. It's like, let's do this. Let's roll. It's the off season. I'm ready to go, the mic said. And it pumped me up.
Nice. Tim, what's new in Pennsylvania?
I have no talking electronics in front of me, but... it's been a great weekend of super wild card football. I think the NFL could have did something a little bit better than just put a super in front of the wild card weekend, but I'm not part of their marketing department. Some fun games yesterday. I almost slipped up and called them by their old name. The Washington football team played a gutsy game yesterday though. For a while there, I was like, man, they actually might pull this off against the old Buccaneers.
Can we all agree? I've seen this on Twitter. Henneke is not it. I thought
no,
he played
no,
well.
No, no. He deserves to be in the league. He deserves to be.
Well, yeah. He's
definitely
he's
be a backup.
Good backup. Yeah, he's a great backup. Yes, kind of like how Gardner Minshew is going to be. Minshew's a great backup. Henneke's going to be a good backup.
Yes. He is not a starting answer for anybody. But yes.
Tyler, exactly. Can I tell you your favorite Taylor Henke story? Are you ready for it? Well,
Is it when you tried to break into a house?
No, not at all. So a couple of years ago, you and I faced off in the UDPL championship. I had Cam Newton who ended up getting hurt. I started Taylor Henke against you, and he helped me win.
I knew there was a reason why I'm a little bitter towards him. I wasn't quite sure.
I was like, this guy sucks. I don't know why he stinks.
You just figured it out. That's why you don't like him.
Every time I hear his name, it's like nails on a chalkboard. I want to like throw myself out a window. It's weird.
Hey, you know what? I traded Juju and a first for Cam Newton to push me over the top, and then I didn't even use him. I used his backup.
I mean, if we're talking about trades we regret, Doug and I made one, and I traded Burrow for Big Ben and Zeke and AB, and I gave Doug a couple extra things. And
I got O.J. Howard and Devin Singletary, too.
I am instantly regretting that trade because I lost the week after. And it didn't really help me. Big Ben looks god awful right now.
He looks like little Ben. Micro Ben.
My only saving grace is AB re-signing with the Bucks and Zeke returning the form when Dak comes back, which I think will happen, but oh.
Yeah, Big Ben's wouldn't be shocked if he was like, I know he said he's coming back for next season, but he is going out like it's not looking good. Not looking good at all.
He's like the fire with like completely used wood and you're trying to blow on it and you're trying to get the coals going. Yeah, that's
just
pretty
been
much
raining better. Outside for the past 3 days.
You can see the bottom of the coals just barely being lit.
Yeah, that's Big Ben right now. He is what I like to call not good. Mm-hmm. So I haven't watched a lot of playoff football this weekend. Unfortunately, I've been a little bit busy, and that's okay. But I am pumped to talk about tight ends. I've been dubbed from some people in the industry a tight end whisperer, and I'll take it. You know, I've been in on some guys before they've hit. I was talking to my co-host Josh on Trophy Time, and one of my bold predictions at the beginning of the season was Logan Thomas would be this year's Darren Waller. Pretty much hit on that one. So my next season is going to be if Hunter Henry walks, Donald Parham will be the new Logan Thomas. That's going to be my bold take if Hunter Henry signs.
I've already tried to buy him in a couple leagues for a 2022 fourth.
Were you able to do that?
They're home leagues, so they're kind of inactive. So I haven't heard of anything back, but yeah, I'm feeling it, you guys. The off season has started for Dynasty, and I have been wheeling and dealing. This is about the time when I look and I'm like, okay, I need to buy low on some guys. I need to sell high. And actually, we're going to talk about some buys right now.
Yeah, we are. Tyler, why don't you kick us off with your buy of the week?
Oh, God. It's the big news. Deshaun Watson is automatically going to Miami. He's sick and tired of Houston. You hear about Miami giving up two first rounders in Tua, which is absurd. You know, you're taking on the Watson contract and giving up a rookie deal on a quarterback that it's come out that the offensive coordinator didn't run the same offense that he ran for Fitzpatrick. He ran a specific offense for Tua, which kind of capped his ability. It was more short stuff.
They turned him into a game manager where Fitzpatrick was the YOLO slinger.
Yep. Yeah. And everybody's still doubting Tua. And when Tua was actually allowed in garbage time to throw it downfield, he did well. Like when, oh my God, Devontae Parker, he's back because Tua can actually let the ball loose a little bit. Tua's my buy. And with this news, if I was you, you need to go out and buy now because I don't think this news is going to last long. I don't think it's going to happen. And if it does, maybe Houston isn't a bad spot because at 3, they'll probably take that tackle. And at 18, they're probably taking another offensive weapon. And guess what? They have Will Fuller. They have Brandon Cooks, who had a quiet, good season.
He's a nice buy. He's not on my list, but he's a nice buy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brandon Cooks had a good offseason. The tight end position isn't great for them, but they do have the
Kahala Hollywood.
Yeah. And you got David Johnson, who's a shell of himself, but
can we stop there for a second with David Johnson? He actually wasn't that bad.
I mean,
remember week one and then week 16 or 17, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, but if you look at some of his other stat lines, like they didn't use him a ton, but when he was healthy, he was decent. He was like a middle end RB2.
Yeah.
I would say if you're a contending team, like that's another guy you can buy super low David Johnson. And you're probably going to get 1 year out of him, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But if you need a running back and you got a championship window, why not?
But I mean, despite the news with Miami, which like I said, I don't think is going to happen, and him going to Houston, either way, I think Tua's a buy. If he ends up in Houston or if he stays in Miami, both, he's going to have more weapons. Miami's going to draft a weapon if they keep Tua. Houston has better weapons other than Miami having Gesicki. I think Houston, the wide receivers are better. But other than that, Tua's the buy. His value's just left for dead. If I even wanted to trade him in UPL, Doug, I've asked about players, and I'd have to give Tua plus for Rodgers, and I'd have to give Tua for Ryan Tannehill plus a tiny bit. Like, that's where his value's at. Mm-hmm. So Tua is a huge buy for me, and he's a rookie quarterback, and he played very well. It's just when you have Justin Herbert playing like he did, and you also have Burrow playing like he did, he's going to get compared differently in the year that he's playing.
I wonder how much the Tua is going to have to say with the new OC getting hired there. I mean, they have people in house.
I hope he has a lot to say.
Ooh, is that another pick? I think Ben just got picked for a third time.
Yes. Trash. Tim, who's your buy?
My buy, real quick, and just to kind of back up the OC there in Miami, when you have a guy with specific talents, or like they were saying about Tua, he doesn't trust himself throwing into small windows. He might not have that anticipation yet that Ryan Fitzpatrick does. That's just he's been around the league for forever. You're going to change up your play calling style because the player style is different. My buy is Mr. LaVisca Chenault. I almost had him. Yeah, Jaguars receiver. Over the last 15 weeks of this, I'm sorry, the last 5 weeks of the season, he averaged 16.24 fantasy points in PPR scoring. They have 6 picks in the top 100 the Jaguars do. That team was sneaky decent this year. I mean, they were competitive. They were in a lot of one-score games. You add in an influx of talent with 6 top 100 picks, assuming one of those is Trevor Lawrence, And Laviska Shenault should definitely see an uptick in his production. Now, there were definitely games towards the middle of the season. There were some Jaguars quarterbacks that probably aren't even as good as Tyler Heinicke. So,
Laviska, it's Taylor Heinicke.
Respect
Heinicke. The name.
Sorry. Yeah, Tyler knows it. All of a sudden, Tyler's a big fan. He's the biggest fan.
So, I do have to say, imagine this world. There's talks Urban Meyer goes to Jacksonville to coach. Mm-hmm. Urban Meyer knows how to use these specific type of players. He did at Ohio State. That's what they were known for. These like kind of gadgety style players. And he got the best of them. My question is, what if they go Justin Fields?
That's my concern with wherever Urban goes. And if it is the Jaguars, especially, he was just at Ohio State just a few years ago. He knows the head coach. He worked with him. That group there in Ohio State might sell Urban Meyer on the fact that Fields is the guy.
I mean, I've been watching some tape and we've been texting, and I talked with you guys and I said, you know, Fields had a game where I've never seen somebody make throws like that, but he's also had games where he misses easy throws. Mm-hmm. He's very hot and cold. I think it took him a little bit to get adjusted because the season for him started late in November. Mm-hmm. So I think it took him a bit to kind of knock the rust off, which it could have been because we all saw against Clemson, he played outstanding.
When he hits the ceiling, he's lights out. The kid's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So if it's Lawrence or if it's Fields, I agree. Mm-hmm. Shenault is a great buy. Even DJ Chark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I made a bold prediction on the same Trophy Time episode that Shenault would lead all rookie receivers in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. Now, obviously, that didn't come true because we had an absolutely amazing rookie class here. But did you know Laviska Shenault, with his 58 receptions, would have had the most rookie receptions in 2019? He had more than Deontay Johnson. A pretty awesome year for a rookie. Like, I think there's just a... So I think that in this epic rookie class, we all know the big names. And Laviska, you probably drafted him in the mid round of your second round or your later second round. I don't know that it would take, you know, maybe a early second would get you Laviska at this point from a savvy owner, maybe even a little bit less for someone that's not as sold as, you know, they want the new Justin Jefferson or he wasn't. Mm-hmm. 2 years, fine. I'm cool with that. Like, I think Laviska has a ton of potential in this league. And one of the key things is he stayed pretty healthy, which was one of his biggest concerns going into the combine and coming out of Colorado was some of these injuries. But I think he only missed one or two games during the season. So for me, that was a huge positive, is that he plays this physical style and he survived his first year relatively unscathed and had a ton of upside. So I love the Laviska call. I'm not going to do Laviska. And then I chose OJ Howard instead because I was like, you know what? Let's keep it tight end related. And this was a guy I got in a deal with, Tyler. It's a tight end premium league. I'm still okay with OJ Howard. I know he's 26 years old. He's on the book more year in Tampa Bay. We obviously don't know what the future is going to be for Rob Gronkowski, if he's going to come back next year. Cameron Brate is a free agent. So, I mean, technically, OJ Howard, old self, we all know the athleticism that OJ Howard has. You know, he has had a history of some injuries, and he's had a little bit of injuries, not injuries, but with drops. He's struggled with a little bit here and there. But I think that based on the price that you can get OJ Howard right now in a tight end premium league, I'm willing to take a flyer on him and put him on my roster, knowing that I view him as a starting caliber tight end in the league. And I think he's just kind of a name that's like completely forgotten about. There's a lot of tight ends. It's kind of like five, and then after everything after that is kind of the same guy for a little while. And then you've got like OJ Howard deep down where not only like, yes, he's injured, but before he was injured, people were not really overly high on him. So that's exactly the type of player where I see the upside, the athleticism, you know, when he's been healthy, he's produced pretty well. So am I willing to give up a late third round pick in a tight end premium league to get him? Cause I think that's probably what you could get him for. In this day and age, like, yeah, I'm willing to take a flyer on a guy like that for that draft capital. What do you guys think on that?
I think you mentioned that when he's healthy and when he's playing, he does produce. And let's not forget, athletically, this is one of the best athletic tight ends we've seen in a while. So if he, you know, sticks around in Tampa and some of those other guys get out of the way, or he goes to a second landing spot and, you know, they use him as the feature tight end. Yeah, we could easily see this guy being in one of these top 12 rankings we're about to do in just a very short time, 12 months.
Yeah, and even if he does stay in Tampa and Rob Gronkowski's back, like, he's a UFA in 2022.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and we, I mean, like Tim was saying about the top 12, he was a top five tight end 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with a talent like that. You gotta buy low. I was talking to a friend earlier tonight. You know, if you want to rebuild a team or if you want to reshape a team, you got to buy low on players and hope they come back to relevance. And you got to sell high on players if you're going to try to rebuild in a situation like that. So, yeah. And OJ Howard is a perfect example of somebody whose value has just fallen off the face of the earth.
And as far as tight ends go, he's still relatively young.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't have a ton of mileage on him. So, yeah. And I think the reverse of that is, like, if you own Logan Thomas in Dynasty, like, now is the time to sell. So, like, yes. Logan Thomas coming off a top five tight end season, kind of out of nowhere, a lot like Darren Waller in 2019. Now, Waller, yes, he's 29. So, Waller, obviously, I didn't think Waller was going to have a repeat season like he did in 2020. So, I was wrong. I was in on Waller. I acquired him in a bunch of leagues. I sold him in every league I owned him in, and I cashed out because I was like, you know what? He has that potential, like Gary Barnage, one-year wonder kind of vibe about him. Now, I was wrong. He was the number two tight end pretty easily in 2020, and looks like he's going to be good for at least another couple of years. He's, again, one of those older prospects like Logan Thomas. So, I mean, if you can cash in on Logan Thomas, by all means, you should be doing that. Unless you're on a win-now team where maybe you don't have a lot of tight end depth, then yeah, maybe you stick with 1 year with Logan Thomas. But if you can afford to move him, just like buying OJ Howard is smart, selling Logan Thomas on the other end is a very smart move to do right now. So with that said, let's jump into our tight end ranks. I am ready for this because I am a collector of tight ends and leagues. I think in the UDPL, Tyler, I have like 8 tight ends on my roster. Like a lot of guys like Dawson Knox, OJ Howard. I have the aforementioned Logan Thomas, David Njoku, Harrison Bryant. Like, I'm all about collecting athletic tight ends, apparently.
You were the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Where Darren Waller was originally. I love to collect those athletic tight ends that have some upside. So it's like an addiction. I just can't stop. Almost every one of my dynasty leagues, I have way too many friggin' tight ends. But let's get into it. I'll go first. My number one at the tight end position for 2021. I know he's an older prospect, but you have to give respect to Travis Kelce. What he's doing, he's signed a long-term deal. He's going to be attached to Patrick Mahomes the rest of his career. He set the record for yardage in a season. He had double-digit touchdowns again. He broke his own record for receptions. We are seeing peak Travis Kelce. I think he's got another solid at least 2 more years where he is a top 3 guy. And I think for me, Travis Kelce, you could definitely make a case for selling him at this point because it could be his peak, but you can also make a case like, why he's the number one guy is because he is such an advantage. I know Darren Waller came in strong over the last month of the season, but there was a gap between Travis Kelce and Darren Waller that was massive at one point. It was like 100-point difference. Travis Kelce was a cheat code at the tight end position this year because it was so bad. So for that reason alone, and he doesn't miss games, he's consistent. I had to give it to Travis Kelce at my 101. So Tyler, do you agree with me? Or are you like, nah, dog, I'm not about that life?
No, I agree. I think this year, out of all the years, I've come to agreement that even though it's an older player, they're still elite. I used to be an ageist when it came to Dynasty. I wanted the young, up-and-coming players. But when you've got a guy like a Kelce, you've got to stick with it. And tight ends, I mean, you look at Tony Gonzalez. I know he was a difference maker. Kelce can go for another 5 years and still be a top five tight end. And that's the thing that I think is going to happen with Kelce. He came into the league older. He was injured his rookie year or second year. So he doesn't have as much tread on the tires as you would think he does. Now, I know he had a couple injuries last year that could affect the longevity of his career, but they weren't serious injuries. And he's more of a finesse type tight end. And I think that alone will help him last in the league. So yeah, Kelce is my 101 of tight ends.
Tim, what say you?
Yeah, I mean, how do you not keep Kelce at the 101 of tight ends? He's there for me as well. And the thing about Kelce and the team he's on is they have so much speed and so much depth on the outside and such an amazing quarterback that teams go into games saying, well, we're not going to let that big play happen to us. So when that happens, that means those safeties are staying back. You got the cornerbacks trying to keep pace with these, you know, these 4-3 running wide receivers, and it leaves those seams all alone for Kelce to just dominate not nearly as physically gifted linebackers against him. And if Mahomes, you know, we saw Mahomes be very smart this year where if you're not going to let us beat you deep, that's fine. We'll just go up the seams with Travis Kelce. We'll take that intermediate and just, you know, matriculate it down the field, and then we'll score on you.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Just the he's in like that nice warm blanket. Like he's on your roster, you get points a single week, and you don't have to worry about a tight end position like a lot of other managers are worrying about week to week, mm-hmm. either based on injury or just depth. So my number two guy, I still love George Kittle. I own him in a lot of dynasty leagues. He was a guy that I was very high on coming out of college. The questions that we have in San Francisco, we know Kelce is going to be attached to Patrick Mahomes. We don't know who the quarterback is going to be for San Francisco going forward. And the other concern that I have with George Kittle is the injuries. They seem to be piling up every year. He's missing games. Now, we know that when George Kittle plays, he has the upside of 15 targets, 15 receptions, 183 yards. He has the ceiling that I don't think Kelce is the consistency. Kittle has the massive, like 170 yards and 3 touchdown type of ceiling, which is why I have him at number two. You know, he's still relatively young, but I am concerned with the injury history, but I think he's probably the most talented pass catcher in the tight end group in the NFL. Like strictly yards after the catch and everything after that. Like you can notice a difference when you watch George Kittle catch a pass and run versus Travis Kelce. There's a difference there. The athleticism is a pretty wide gap. So that's why I have George Kittle at number two. Tyler, do you agree with me?
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, injuries only concern. Dude is a monster, but the way he plays is why he's always injured. And he plays like a man with his hair on fire. Ooh, he is fun to watch. But yeah, I hope somebody goes up to him and says, you know, you can tone it down like 20% and you're still... Yeah. You're still going to have more energy than the whole entire team, and you're still going to be able to play well. We just need you to bring that down to like an 8. You're at a 13 or something like that. But yeah, Kittle is awesome. He's fun to watch. I just want to see a full healthy season out of him and kind of see what he can do.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's frustrating with Kittle too, and we saw this with Travis Kelce for a few years, was that he wasn't scoring a ton of touchdowns. And we look at 2018 and 2019, Kittle had 5 touchdowns a year. He had 2 this past year. He only played in 8 games. But I feel that there's like this massive like 12 or 13 touchdown season that George Kittle has the potential to deliver. So that's kind of like when I talk about ceiling, like he's a game breaker and he should be a double-digit touchdown guy. So that's what I can foresee in his future because he's been disappointing in that category. And that was the biggest thing with, like I said, with Kelce. Up until really last year where he got into double-digit touchdowns for the first time, like he'd score you 5 or 6 touchdowns and you're like, man, you're killing me here because touchdowns are so important at the tight end position. Literally, to be a tight end one is 3 receptions for 30 yards and a touchdown, and you're pretty much a lock to be a tight end one in that week. So the touchdowns are so important for the tight end position. Tim, who you got at your number two?
Well, I'll be honest, guys. I had Kittle there, but listening to you, I think I'm changing my mind. I think I'm going to put Mark Andrews over Kittle. We saw Mark Andrews last year really, really start to go off. Mark Andrews was a little bit more inconsistent this year, but I think we saw the last like 5 weeks of the season when the Ravens really started to figure themselves out. Mark Andrews was a centerpiece of that offense. And I think if they're going to go into next year and think, hey, how can we be the most successful version of ourselves? It is to feature Mark Andrews. So I'm going to trust that Baltimore coaching staff to be smart, to do the self-scouting, and that Mark Andrews will be a centerpiece of that offense going forward. He's got 2 years less on the tires there than Kittle does. And I completely agree. When Kittle's healthy and they get him the ball, he's a yards after catch monster. He's a human highlight reel. It is so fun to watch him play the tight end position, but because of how just he's just so fired up and he does not try to miss contact. He almost runs to it. Sometimes it looks like he's starting to beat himself up. He's aged beyond his years. We've seen that Rob Gronkowski coming back this year after the year off, he's kind of looked a little rejuvenated. He's never going to get back to what he once was. He's done too much damage, but I'm afraid possibly that's happened to Kittle already. So for me, I'll go ahead and put Mark Andrews at my number two spot, a 25-year-old tight end that's already shown that he can be, you know, in that top three.
Yeah, I think Mark Andrews is a case too. If you play Dynasty and you see like an athletic tight end, like Mark Andrews didn't do anything in his rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been like the perfect time to buy him, right? And I think it goes to show that tight ends do take time, and you'll hear that on most podcasts. But I think the biggest important thing as a dynasty owner is if you like a guy and maybe you didn't draft him or whatever the case may be, and he doesn't do much during his rookie season, and we're going to talk about two of those guys on my list, it's the perfect time to go and buy them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's if you have that foresight to be like, you know what? He was underrated in his rookie season. I know there's potential there. I like the athletic profile. I like the player. Go and get him. Don't be afraid to do that because you shouldn't have to pay too much of a high price. And then if it blows up in your face, which has happened to me at the tight end position, it's not going to hurt as bad. So this is like the perfect time to jump on those types of guys. All right. My number three, we talked about him a little bit earlier, Darren Waller. Awesome, awesome 2019. I didn't think he'd follow it up in 2020. He exceeded it in 2020. He was the Raiders passing game most weeks. I think he's going to be the guy there for, I think he signed for another couple of years. I wanted Foster Moreau to replace Darren Waller. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. I still like Moreau quite a bit, but Darren Waller is just a different kind of dude. He's kind of like a hybrid between, if you were to take Kelce and Kittle and split the difference in talent, I think Darren Waller is right there.
Ooh, that's my Mark Andrews comparison. Mark Andrews is Kittle and Kelce. Like compare.
I think Waller's not too far off on the athleticism of Kittle, and he has like a lot of the nuance in his game that Kelce does.
I think with Kittle, the energy, like if I were to compare Andrews, it'd be Kittle's energy, but with Kelce's style. Like he's not as crazy and insane as Kittle, but he's still got the energy, but he's got that nuance, the savviness that Kelce does. That I think Andrews, not to kind of rain your parade, I think Andrews in a couple years will be the tight end one.
Interesting. Okay. But I have Waller as my number three. I think just again, very consistent performer. It was pretty much Kelce, little bit of a gap, Waller, massive gap to number three. And I could see that happening again a year from now. So I've got Waller as my number three tight end, even though he's a little bit older. I think he's, again, you talked about a guy with not a lot of mileage on him. Like, hello, he's really only been a starter for two seasons now. So there's no reason that Darren Waller can't have another good few years, at least at the position, especially if Derek Carr stays in Las Vegas. Like, they're just a match made in heaven for Derek Carr's team. God.
Hopefully he leaves soon.
I mean, I don't hate it, but I mean, Gruden's stubborn and Derek Carr is not bad. We'll see.
Let's get Henry Ruggs, somebody who can throw the ball downfield.
Well, hey, Nelson Aguilar caught it downfield. What's Henry Ruggs' excuse? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right, baby. All right, Tyler, who's your number three? Is it Mark Andrews?
Yeah, my number three is Andrews.
Okay.
And I mean, just pretty much like I was talking about, I feel like he's a mix of the two. He's not quite there yet. I think he will get there. So if you are going to buy somebody on an off year, which Andrews did have an off year, mm-hmm, compared to his last year, sure. Andrews is a huge buy for me.
I think for Baltimore had an off year.
Yeah, that's true. Like, and all I'm thinking today when I watch the game is, you know, Hollywood Brown, that's the Hollywood Brown we kind of all expected to show up in the season. And he shows up in the playoffs. Maybe Lamar. I mean, Lamar was off today a little bit. There were some throws where he's off, but man, in that passing game, it's Andrews and Hollywood Brown, and that's
it. Patrick Ricard.
Yeah, Patrick. Oh, God.
300-pound fullbacks. Let's go.
Yeah.
Tim, who you got at your number three?
All right, so my number three, I mentioned I had him at two, and I slid him back, you know, on the fly here, but that is Kittle. You guys talked about him earlier, so I'm not going to harp too much, but the guy's just absolutely electric, so I have no problem putting Kittle there at number three. Hopefully we get to see him stay healthy next year.
Nice. So for my number four, I've got Tyler's boy, TJ Hockenson is my number four. You know, you guys are really selling me on Andrews. I might flip-flop these. It's pretty marginal, but I'm going to stick with what I originally had, and it's TJ Hockenson. Obviously, there's a little bit of concerns there with like yards per target and some of his yards after the catch. I think he's borderline athletic as George Kittle. I think he's right there. I just think he needs the Detroit Lions to figure out how to use him correctly.
Bingo.
They're not targeting him downfield where they should. He's getting short targets, easy targets. They're not stretching the field with TJ Hockenson. They're stretching the field with Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay. They're not using that tight end the way that smart NFL teams would use a tight end with that athletic profile. So that's a little bit of a concern. We obviously know that there's going to be a new head coach in Detroit, most likely. I don't think Daryl Bevel is going to take over his interim space. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because I think Stafford is a good NFL quarterback. He's just never had a history of having he had Ebron. He didn't do much with him. Pettigrew. There's been a lot of tight ends that have gone to Detroit and haven't done much in fantasy. So it's a little bit concerning for me, but I love the profile. I love the player. So Hockenson's my number four.
Yeah, and he's my four as well. I would not be shocked if Detroit moves on from Stafford. They could trade him or something like that. But that team seems like they want to just hit a hard reset. And I think they're going to go after, like a Salah, the defensive coordinator from San Fran. And then he's going to hire an offensive coordinator. Yeah, and he's going to hire an offense coordinator and just let him do the offense. But I do like Hockenson, and like say they get a Mac Jones in the draft. Say Detroit does. They take a quarterback. Mac Jones is a very good prototypical pro-style quarterback that can look in the middle of the field. Stafford likes to throw the ball deep outside the hash marks, and that's the reason why Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay just go off. Mm-hmm. But there could be a change that could actually help Hockenson. And I think even the offensive coordinator change will help him either way, with or without Stafford. So Hockenson, I think, is a huge buy for me as well at the tight end position. Any tight end you can get for reasonably cheap that is young and talented, almost all these guys we're going to mention, you should go out and buy. Because tight ends are a difference maker if they can step their game up.
Absolutely. Tim, who you got at your four?
My four is the aforementioned Darren Waller. 146 targets this year. Not too many tight ends get to that nearly 150, target mark. He caught 107 of them. The big thing for him this year was the 9 touchdowns. When they got down into that red zone area, and even when they were around the 30s, Waller has that athleticism where he can run the seams, and Derek Carr likes looking for him down there. So unless they go out and get somebody, which I don't think they will this year, go out and get somebody to really funnel those targets away from him, he should see 8-9 touchdowns again next year.
Yeah,
watch him take a rookie tight end that we'll probably mention.
Maybe
not with Foster Moreau on the roster. Come
I would hope not.
Disrespect Gronk Jr. I hope Moreau gets an opportunity in the league.
He was my guy his rookie year, and I probably had like 80% shares of that guy in a lot of my dynasty leagues.
Last year they used Waller 20-20, just move the ball down the field, and then they got in close. And
Moreau had like 5 or 6. Yeah.
They everybody's focusing on Waller because he just beat him up the whole way down the field. And then Moreau'd slide out into the flat, and there he is.
Yeah. And he looked good. So, interesting prospect in your deeper leagues to try and acquire if you can. My number five, we've talked about him already. It is Mark Andrews. Again, I think it's just a question of like, I know he was. You said the Baltimore passing game was Andrews and Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I agree. It's just the inconsistencies a little bit with Baltimore are a little bit concerning. I like the talent of Andrews. He is still young. He does have upside. I could flip him in Hockenson any given day, depending how I'm feeling. So I think they're very, very close. So Tyler, let's go to you for your number five.
It's Waller, and we kind of hit on him. So I'll just say my five's Waller.
All right, Tim, who you got?
My number five is Hockenson. Absolute stud coming out of college. He finally had a pretty good season this year. What was he, number five, number six, something like that? Yeah. Overall tight end rankings, over 100 targets. I do know that. So Hockenson, I like the upside there for him. hopefully, if they do hit the hard reset, they get themselves a functional quarterback, because that's going to be the only thing that concerns me.
Gotcha. So let's go to number six. This is where we start to mix it up a little bit. So I've got Mr. Pitts out of Florida as my number six tight end, because I just see a really, really large player. Now, I know that it's going to be interesting. Going to use him more like a tight end? Are they going to split him out wide? I think he could do both. But this kid is an absolute freak at the position. He's going to be a first rounder. Will he be a top 10 pick? Possible.
Yes.
Very possible.
I mean, if Hockenson's a top 10 pick, I think Pitts will be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, 43 receptions. So that doesn't blow you away. 770 yards and 12 touchdowns. Yeah. And I think he's going to, if they do have a combine, which we'll know more this coming week, if they're going to do a combine, and pray to God they do.
I think they have plans for something.
Yeah. I'll just make it a bubble. It's that easy. I think this kid is going to test out of the gym. 6'6", 246, athletic freak. Kyle Pitts is my number six. In a tight end premium league, I would not be shocked to see him get drafted in the top five. We saw it with Hockenson, right, Tyler? Like, he was drafted as early as three or four.
Yeah, Hockenson was around four for me.
Yep. So I can see this kid being tight end premium. If it's a super flex league too, then he's probably going to be right in that five range, because there is a good quarterback class coming in. Would not be shocked to see him in that position. So I like Kyle Pitts. Obviously, depending on the team that he lands on and how they might use him could be a factor. But if he goes to the right spot, it's wheels all the way up for Kyle Pitts. So he's my number six.
Yeah.
Tyler, who you got?
Yeah, my six is kind of the same player, but I still think he's got a ton of upside, and it's Noah Fant. Mm. Pitts and Fant are very similar to me, the athletic profile. Fant just needs a quarterback, and I think that's all it is.
Not the answer? Come on now.
No, I mean, you want to talk about buys. Go just look at the Denver Broncos offense. I mean, KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, hell, even Melvin Gordon. Go out and buy those guys, because if they can get another quarterback, which I do think they will have a different quarterback. I do think that with John Elway kind of giving up the reins, get it? Bronco reins. I think they're going to go a different direction. I think they're going to kind of go. I really hope they go Stafford personally. That is my favorite spot. That or Matt Ryan. And if that's the case, all these weapons are going to get fed.
Ugh.
And man, Noah Fant, if he can have a competent quarterback, Noah Fant is going to be a beast. If he can stay healthy and everything, beast. And I mean, let's talk about a tight end that just caught the ball that I don't think is in any of our top 10. Austin Hooper. Man. Tight ends.
Let's go, Browns. I mean,
Noah Fant to me is what? What do you think? Top five for athleticism? He's got to be position? Up there. Yeah.
Yeah, I would give him that, sure.
I think he's right up there with Hockenson. He might be more athletic than Hockenson. I think Hockenson is a better route runner and overall tight end. But Fant for me is another, like we're going to talk about a lot, a massive buy at the position. If you can snag Noah Fant, I would go out there and do that, because I do like Pitts, but Fant, I know he was already a first round pick. I like the spot he's in, and they're going to utilize him. Yep. So Noah Fant for me.
All right, Tim, who you got at six?
Same exact thing. For me, it's Noah Fant, 23 years old. Remember how A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf went to the same college? So did Hockenson and Fant. They came out the same year, both from Iowa. Hockenson was that guy who was a little bit more like Kittle, and Fant was just this Ebron-esque athletic freak coming in at 200 and almost 50 pounds, ran a 4.5 at the combine. Just an absolute beast athletically, and he showed out. I mean, when he has a big game, he goes all the way off, 20 plus points from the tight end position, and he does it multiple times throughout the year. He has the occasional games where he throws up a goose egg. I know he had one, week 13 or 14 this year, just absolutely crushing fantasy owners there, throwing up the goose egg. But most weeks he's going to put you in that 7 to 10 range. And then he has those weeks where he blows up. Again, it's kind of linked to the quarterback. I completely agree with Tyler there. If they go get them, one of those veterans, and John always knew to do that, Peyton Manning. If he goes and gets a Matt Stafford, I think all these offensive weapons for the Broncos are going to be wheels up.
Yeah, and with Noah Fant, all it is consistency. Yep. That's all he needs. If he could get a couple more catches in his goose egg games, I think he'll be better off. And yeah. That's it. It's consistency. You can't trust him in fantasy week to week. You got to pick your spots. But if you are able to get a little more out of him and get rid of those goose egg games, yeah, he's going to be really good for your team.
It's my fault. I just looked it up. It was week 14. He only played 8% of the snaps, so there had to be an injury involved.
Probably.
Yeah, he was a little banged up going into that, if I remember correctly. So, and the only player in the NFL that has... you can say fantasy football with. That's for you, gosh. Tyler. I love you. All right.
I didn't even like that one.
I know. I was trying to be you, which means it has to be extra bad. Hello. My number 7 was Noah Fant for all the same reasons that you guys said. So I won't pile on there. So Tyler, let's get to your number 7.
Mine's Kyle Pitts for kind of the same reasons you said. And it's athleticism. He's probably going to have a top 12 draft pick capital, which we all love for tight ends. Any tight end that's really drafted around there rarely bust.
Jermaine Gresham, Ebron.
I mean, they still had their seasons. We've all like, the thing is with this is, do you draft a tight end that early? Because a lot of tight ends in super flex, you usually want to bypass, and then year two is when you really hit hard with the buy.
Yep.
So that's my only issue with Pitts, but I do think that he's going to land in a spot where he's going to be utilized right away. So yeah, Pitts is my number 7.
Tim, who you got?
My number 7 is another athletic tight end, Mr. Mike Gesicki. He was part of that Penn State class that came to the combine, and I don't know if maybe they just didn't have to piss test or what, but all of those Penn State guys might have been on some juice. I mean, they were on it. Apke. But yeah, Mike Gesicki, the second half of last year and then this year, we finally got to see a little bit more consistency out of him. I think is his relationship hopefully with Tua, or I mean, I'll take another guy there, you know, we'll take the trade with Houston. If his relationship with his quarterback continues to grow, this guy, they got some weapons on the outside. They probably draft another one this year, but yeah, he's going to own the middle of the field. And I absolutely love Mike Gesicki there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Gesicki at my number 8. You know, you're looking at a season of 53 receptions, 700 yards, 6 touchdowns. That's a really solid season for an NFL tight end, and I think there's some upside there. Again, Tim said, athletic freak. I think, obviously, if they do get Deshaun Watson at quarterback, and for the record, I don't think Deshaun's going anywhere, but whatever. Yeah. You know, that's obviously an upgrade at the quarterback position. I would love to see that. But even if it is Tua going forward, I'm perfectly, they had some pretty nice games together as well. So Mike Gesicki, I see some upside there. He doesn't have quite the upside, I think, of as a Noah Fant. That's why I had Fant a little bit higher. So, but Gesicki here to have a uber athletic tight end as your tight end, or as my tight end 8, just goes to show, like, there's some absolutely phenomenal athletes in the NFL that play the tight end position. That's for dang sure. So Tyler, who is your number 8?
Same, Gesicki. And speaking of buying cheap, I bought him for 304 and 402 recently today. Gesicki, it's a non-tight end premium.
That's regular. No. Okay.
But even then, you need the tight end position, you still need somebody you feel comfortable sliding in. I had absolutely nobody going into 2021 except a couple other guys we have on the list later on. But I think Gesicki is going to be my starter. Like Tim was talking about, I think his connection with Tua got stronger as the season went on. And I do think going into 2021, they will have a greater connection as well. So I think Gesicki will have a stronger year 4 than he did year 3. And I do think Miami re-signs him. I don't think they're going to have to pay, you know, give him the paper, per se, as the cool kids say. I think Gesicki will re-sign for a decent price, and I think he'll stay in Miami. And he's relatively young. He's still 25. He'll turn 26, and I think it's October. So yeah, Gesicki is a huge buy for me as well.
Who's your number eight?
My number eight, I'm going to go with Dallas Goedert. This might be a little bit of Philly love, but I really don't think either one of those quarterbacks will have a problem making Dallas Goedert a very viable tight end one next year. And we all know that the Eagles going into next year are in some cap hell. And Ertz is kind of in that we could kind of cut him now range. 2021, we're looking at what, just over 7 million, I think, dead cap for Ertz. He's getting to that age. No. Yeah, we can let him go, maybe possibly trade him to somebody else, get something, a couple picks back. He's 30 years old at this point, Zach Ertz is. So I think if Dallas Goedert, if that does fall that way for Dallas Goedert, I think Dallas Goedert could find himself here on the back half of these tight end ones.
I like it. So let's get to number nine. I've got my number nine. This might surprise some folks. It's Cole Kmet. We saw in the beginning of the season, Jimmy Graham had a nice fantasy season. Jimmy Graham finished as a tight end one. But what we saw in the last month of the season was Cole Kmet's snap share was pretty dang close to 100%. And with the ball in his hands, we saw some of the things that he can do with it. I think that, you know, Jimmy Graham was all fun and games this year. Like, he had a good touchdown numbers. But Jimmy Graham is, you know, in his, what, early 30s now. Cole Kmet's going to take over. And shown at the end of the season, Cole Kmet's going to be the starter there next year. I think you look at that team, if they lose Allen Robinson, they've got Darnell Mooney, who's a nice prospect. Anthony Miller, maybe he's gone. He got ejected today. Mm-hmm. They're going to need pass catchers in that offense. I knew they'll get Tariq Cohen back, who they signed to an extension. But I think Cole Kmet could get a ton of targets in that offense. Loved him in college. His nickname is The Natural from the Chicago Bears coaching staff. They absolutely love this kid. Took him in the second round. They didn't have a first round pick. They took Kmet. I think he's got a really bright future. So I might be a little bit bold here to have him at number nine, but that's where I've got Cole Kmet. So Tyler, you've got a number nine that we've already heard about, but I like this pick.
Yeah, Dallas Goedert is my number nine. And I think it's because he had a injury riddled season. I think he's going to come back and bounce back. And as the starter in 2021, I do think Ertz's last game in Philly has been played. So Dallas Goedert is number nine.
Love it. Timmy, who you got at number nine?
My number nine, I am going with that college freak, Kyle Pitts out of Florida, 6'6", 246. And this kid's going to run probably a 4.5, 4.48-ish, somewhere in there. He's going to test out of this world, I believe. But yeah, you kind of mentioned the stats earlier, Doug. That was done in eight games. He had, so this is a per game, breakdown here. 5.3 catch receptions per game, 96.25 yards per game. He averaged in his last year there at Florida, 17.9 yards per reception. That is a big time number, especially from a tight end. And the touchdown pace, 1.5 touchdowns per game played this final season there in Florida. The guy's an absolute animal. I can't wait to see this guy at the combine. I can't wait to see him on an NFL field. Get him to a good situation, and this guy is going to be an absolute beast from the jump. I'll take Kyle Pitts at nine.
Love it. I'm going to dip into tight end university here for my number 10. Ooh. It's another rookie. It's Brevin Jordan out of the University of Miami. We all know the lineage of Miami Hurricanes tight ends. Some of them have been all-stars in the NFL. Some of them not. I'm looking at
Chris Herndon. David
Njoku. Njoku is another one. But yeah, I mean, Brevin Jordan, 38 receptions, 576 and 7. A lot of people have him right behind Pitts in this year's draft. And I think that he could also be a first rounder. Now, granted, it'll be the end of the first round. But 6'3", 245, another athletic guy. This end class, it's going to be a great year if you have a later, you know, mid to late second, and you're still going to be able to get like a really good tight end. There's at least four or five really good prospects, and maybe even more depending on who else declares. This is going to be a tight end class a lot like 2017 was, when we saw like George Kittle, OJ Howard, Tony Smith, like all those athletic tight ends that came out this year. This class could rival that class. So I like Brevin Jordan a lot here. For his upside alone, I think I just have to put that ahead of some other guys that are in the league currently. So, who's your number 10?
My number 10 is Cole Kmet. And it's a lot of the reasons you said. I loved the upside. I think coming out in this class, he'd be my two or three debate.
Okay.
Kind of if the Ohio State tight end comes out, I think
Rucker?
Cole Kmet. Yeah. Cole Kmet and him are around the same. Their style of play are the same. Mm-hmm. But Rucker, I think, has more athleticism. Kmet, super athletic himself. But they're going to have a new quarterback there, and I think that is going to be the big difference. I think they're going to want to get Kmet in more often. He is 100% more athletic than Jimmy Graham is right now, even though Jimmy Graham had a nice catch today. But Cole Kmet is the answer. He is going to be one of those guys you want to go out and buy, because once he has risen, it's going to be hard for him for you to get your hands on him. And I think he'll end up being like a top eight-ish tight end sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. Well, just like what we said with Mark Andrews, right? Like, go out and buy him. Maybe he turns into a next guy level, or Joe Andrews, and that's exactly the type of acquisition you want to make.
My number 10, also Cole Kmet, 21 years old, he had six or more targets in four of the last five games this season. With Jimmy Graham either gone or just one more year older, whoever they get in there at quarterback should absolutely love this kid, just like the coaching staff does. So, yeah, Cole Kmet, buy now before that price rises, just like Tyler said.
Absolutely. So I've got my number 11. I've got Dallas Goedert. For many of the same reasons that Tim did, Zach Ertz is going to be out of the picture. Goedert, when he's played, has shown that, like, he's a force in the red zone. He can stretch the field. Yards after the catch aren't an issue with Dallas Goedert whatsoever. You know, the issue with Goedert is, like, you know, what's the quarterback look like there in the future? You know, it's probably not going to be Carson Wentz. Jalen Hurts, it could be much like Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews get along. Like, Hurts and Goedert find that same type of connection, because maybe Hurts struggles making some throws like Lamar does. And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities. But I like Goedert, you know, again, a good athletic profile, and the opportunity to kind of be on the stage by himself without splitting time with Zach Ertz is very attractive. So I've got him at my number 11.
Let's just not get knocked out in the bars anymore, Goedert.
Watch
your blind side.
Yeah. So Tyler, you've got a name that we have not heard yet that a lot of people are down on, which makes him maybe an attractive buy here in the offseason.
Yes. Evan Engram. He's kind of the forgotten man. He was also the OJ Howard S type player. And man, when he is healthy, he is good. And he's probably their best pass catcher, you know, right up there with Sterling Shepard. But Engram, are they going to keep him? I don't know. The Giants, I have no idea what direction they're going to go in. They're like the Baltimore Ravens, but like the poor man Baltimore Ravens. They have a ton of tight ends that you're kind of like, oh yeah, I remember him. That's the old Stafford tight end. And oh, I remember this tight end. Like, that's the New York Giants. And I think they have no idea what to do with Engram. Do they split him out wide? Do they run him as a tight end?
They just run him on crossers all day. It's so annoying.
Yes. I think if Engram can land with a team that will know how to use him, which I hope happens, I think he will rise back up to relevance. And yeah, at 11, you're not paying much for him. You're not paying the iron price that you used to pay for him. So Engram, to me, is the forgotten man that I would love to have on my roster.
Let's go Caden Smith. Nice. Get Engram out of there.
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go.
Caden Smith.
Tim, who's your number 11?
Oh, Caden Smith. My number 11 is going to be Irv Smith. You know, Irv Smith was the guy that I probably wasn't as high as everybody else in the world was on him coming out. And he's done exactly what I needed him to do. He's kind of sat back there and played the second fiddle a little bit to Kyle Rudolph, as Kyle Rudolph just, you know, wastes away there.
Like all reindeers do. Yeah. All reindeers are second fiddle to Rudolph.
Yeah. But we see when Irv Smith gets in the game, he's much more athletic of the two of them. And when you get him the opportunities, like what was that, week 16, 9 targets, 6 catches, 2 touchdowns. Irv Smith going into year three, I want to say. Yeah, going into year three next year.
Yep.
Let's get this guy on the field on a more consistent basis. Let's start feeding him targets, and this guy could really, really jump up the board.
He is the typical 4-for-60 type tight end. And I mean, that is safe.
Yeah.
And if he gets a touchdown, he's a tight end, top six tight end of the week.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So wrap up my top 12. I originally had Harrison Bryant in this spot, and then I did some thinking while we were talking, and he's there long term. Probably not enough for Harrison Bryant to like be ranked in the as a tight end one. I really love the talent. He's a guy that I'm going to try out and acquire in my leagues on the cheap. But I removed him and I Hunter Henry. Like he's free agent at the end of the year. I know he'd down, but he did have to only
Hunter Henry is a fantastic. Yeah, Hunter Henry is a great buy for me because, yeah, he should be on a different team. So Henry's a great choice.
Yeah.
There's rumors that the Bill Belichick loves him, so maybe he comes to New England and gets featured. Who knows? We all know what they can do with tight ends not named Dalton Keene and Devin Asiasi, at least.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Asiasi had some play. A
little bit.
He got a touchdown in the last game of the year. I think the leading tight end for the Patriots had 5 receptions on the season.
Let's go.
Disgusting. Tyler, who's your number 12? And why is it
Irv? It's Big Irv. And it's because what you saw when Rudolph was injured. Mm-hmm. Like I said, 4-for-60 was usually the stat line he had. And he's usually one of those guys that gets the one reception for 20 plus yards. He has a lot of room to grow. And I know they got their weapons there, but once Thielen gets a little older, I think Irv will get a little more targets and they'll use them in the red zone a little more. So yeah, Irv is my tight end 12.
Tim, bring us home. Who is your tight end 12 for 2021?
Doug, much like you, I also had Harrison Bryant here at my number 12 spot. He's another 2 years away, I think, though, because the Browns just have too many other tight ends there right now, and too many other things are going to have to happen. I love the kid's upside, and in another 2 years, I think he's going to be a guy you absolutely need to go get, if not sooner. But I am going to put some respect on the man's name, Robert Tonyan, the breakout guy up there in Green Bay. He's going to be tied to Aaron Rodgers at least one more year. I absolutely love what he did. He took over and just, you know, week after week, 10 points plus was the norm for this. So that's exactly what I'm looking for out of a tight end. He's at least getting you something every week. But when you're feeling pretty good about a 10 or more point production from him, he's a guy I can plug in and just walk away feeling all right about.
Yeah, I mean, you go to Outback Steakhouse and what do you order as an appetizer? A Bloomin' Tonyan. That's exactly what you got this year.
Bloomin' Tonyan.
The worst thing about Tonyan is that I had him in UDPL for 3 years. Three years. Ugh. Just sitting on my roster. And he was the roster cut I had to make. And what happens? He goes off. So, folks, keep your tight ends that you feel like have a breakout potential. Keep them. Even if it's year four,
you know what, though,
hang
Tyler,
on to him.
It came full circle because we picked him up for free in one of the other leagues we were on sleepers. So it all works out. You still got some Tonyan love.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, did you guys see this week
on sandwiches? Did you guys have a chance?
Oh my god, here we go. Did you have a chance to see our sponsor Trophy Smack on Shark Tank this week?
Yes, I did. And yeah,
Mark Cuban.
They landed Mark Cuban as part owner. Ooh. And I mean, Cuban, you know, locked it up. And I was talking to Matt of Trophy Smack, who was on Shark Tank. And I said, dude, you were calm, cool, collected. And I would have peed myself. There would have been a lot of body fluids on that stage.
Cuban was like, you take this now or I'm done. And they're like,
yes. Okay. And then Lori was like, no, hear my offer. And they just like gave her the hand and was like, nope, we're going Cuban.
Well, listen here, Cuban, as a longtime sponsor of the Dynasty Happy Hour, I expect Mavericks tickets as soon as this COVID stuff starts.
I agree. I agree. Let's go. Let's see some Mavericks happen. But no,
I want to meet Luca. I want to meet Luca. Let's line that up.
You guys, if you haven't seen it, go out and watch the Trophy Smack part of Shark Tank, and it just shows you how good of a company this is and how much they want.
It was at the 50-minute mark for you that want to watch.
They want to be the best, and they are the best for a reason. And a lot of the things they have progressed through the years since we've been with them, I have seen with my own eyes, and it's been awesome. They have changed the trophy game. I'm getting my tag soon so I can ship the belt to Doug for a league that he won. I mean, the belts are phenomenal. They had the belt in their pitch to the guys in Shark Tank. They had the belts on the shoulder. They're phenomenal. They got tons of trophies. They got trophies for every fantasy sport. I know basketball's going on. Baseball's going to get started up. So
League of Legends.
Go out, get a trophy and fix your league. Make your league the best league it can be by having a trophy, because a traveling trophy makes a league complete to me, and it's great. So go out and do that. Use code DHHRING. You can get yourself a free $60 ring. They had them on the finger in the pitch that they were doing. Go out, get yourself a free ring and the belt that they had on them, and just be great.
Yeah, my wife, I watched it with my wife, and we were watching. She's like, oh, they make some really cool stuff. I go, yeah. I said, I'm going to be getting one of those belts soon, babe. She's like, oh, that's the league that you want. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I've already got a nice place where I'm going to display it somewhere. Hopefully the shipping's not too terrible. But just remember, if I don't win the league next year, I have to pay to ship it back. So it's all going to even out in the end. So we'll be good to go. But
why do you think I'm making moves in that league?
Yeah, I see that. You're robbing. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it anyway. All right. That's going to wrap us up this week on the Dynasty Happy Hour. For Tim, for Tyler, I've been your host, Doug, and we'll see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.